It's the B-Town Lowdown.
My name is Aaron. I've lived in Bloomington for about a year, and I love how friendly everybody is, and especially all the people with dogs.
B-L-O-O-M-I-N-G-D-O-N, you gotta come on down. Welcome to the B-Town Lowdown. I am Jeremy Shear, and I'm here with my co-host, Jen Richler. Jen, how's it going?
It's going well, Jeremy. I'm excited to be recording our first full-length B-Town Lowdown episode.
Yes, our first full-length B-Town Lowdown episode. It is super exciting. It really is. And that's what took up most of my week this past week, is preparing to do this very thing that we're doing right now.
Yeah, I would say it's taken up some time of my week too, in a good way.
Yeah, definitely in a good way. Well, what else was going on for you this week? What were you up to?
Well, you know, it's been a bit of a slow week as far as getting out and doing lots of things, I'm sort of sad to say. I think it's partly that this is the, IU moving in week, which
right.
always makes me, and no offense to our IU student listeners, right. but kind of want to hibernate and stay away from campus and sort of downtown because it's just insane.
Right.
So the couple of times I've been in the area and seen how insane it was, I just sort of drove the other or walk the other
yeah.
way. So
yeah.
So haven't been doing a ton of Bloomington stuff. What about you?
Well, yeah, same. I mean, like I said, you know, spending a lot of time getting this podcast together. But yeah, I mean, it's always exciting when students come back, right? But it's kind of a double-edged sword. If you live here, it brings in a lot of ways, it brings the town to life. It's great. Yes. But suddenly, you have to circle around the block 8 times to get a parking space. That's just how it is.
The parking is a struggle.
It's the price that we pay.
Yeah.
For living in a college town. But we love it. We love living in a college town.
We do
town.
Love it. We just have to avoid Target for all of August.
Right. Target becomes just a madhouse.
Yeah. You don't go there.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what is going to be in this episode. To start us off.
So we're going to hear an interview that you did, Jeremy, with
yeah.
Janae Cummings, who is the chair of Bloomington Pride, which is putting on Pride Fest this week. And so looking forward to hearing from Janae.
Then we're going to take a trip in the way back machine and check out what was going on in Bloomington a long, long time ago. But first, let's get the lowdown on what's going on this week. Actually, before talking about what's going on this week, I want to take a minute to tell you about our friends at Limestone Post. Limestone Post is an online magazine based in Bloomington that focuses on publishing in-depth stories. They work with dozens of local writers, photographers, illustrators, poets, and other creative people to publish articles, photo essays, and videos about everything from the arts to the outdoors to environmental and social issues, the topics that matter to us here in South Central Indiana. All their online content is free, and everything they've ever posted is still available. So check out limestonepost.com to peruse their archives and catch up on their latest stories. All right, now let's hear about this week's coolest events. Okay, so Jen, what caught your eye this week?
Well, one thing I noticed that sounded really fun was the Upland Brew Pub 20th Anniversary Block Party.
Right.
Which actually turns out is fun for the whole family.
Yeah.
You think Upland, you think beer, but in fact, the 20th Anniversary Party is going to involve food, music, yoga, a photo booth, and my personal favorite, the dunk tank.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a dunk tank?
You gotta love the dunk tank.
So I think, I don't know, I might bring my kids and check out what's going on at the Upland on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I'll go just for the dunk tank. You know, I'm not much of a beer drinker, but I love the dunk tank because it's just super, it's hilarious to see somebody get dunked.
Do you think we can dunk our kids?
Well, yeah. I don't see why not.
That would be an added incentive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need any special occasion to dunk my kids.
Right.
I just want to do that. But they're too big now. They'll dunk me. They won't
it's
let
true.
Me do
your
it.
Your kids are kind of big.
We could dunk your kids.
My kids are very dunkable.
Yeah. Very dunkable. Okay, so we got the Upland Brew Pub anniversary block party. That looks pretty cool. Worth checking out. It looks like there's actually a lot going on today, this Sunday, August 19th. There's also a concert for Kaza over at the Harley-Davidson shop. Did you know about that?
I mean, I know a lot about CASA because I've got some friends who are really involved with the organization, but I did not know about the concert until I started seeing some signs up around town, and I did not know it was at the Harley-Davidson, which is sort of interesting.
Yeah, it's not where you would assume it would be, but that looks pretty cool. In any case, worth checking out, definitely a good cause to support. And that same evening, even more music, the Bloomington Symphony Orchestra is playing that night at Buskirk Park, Third Street Park.
I did not know it was called Buskirk Park.
I didn't know that
How
either.
About
I always
that?
I always called it Third Street Park.
All right. Who was Buskirk?
I have no idea.
You got the Buskirk Chumley. You got Buskirk.
You know what? In one of our way back episodes, maybe we can check. We'll have to check that out. I don't know. I bet somebody listening to this probably knows the answer.
He or she was important.
Clearly. I mean, if you have a theater named after you, you've done something right in your life.
I would say so. Anna Park.
Anna Park. Right.
Right. All right.
Okay. So what else have we got going on this week? What else caught your eye?
So IU Cinema always has some neat offerings, and this week is no exception. You said you were interested in this, the White Knights. Well, why don't you tell us, Jeremy? You tell us which one caught your eye.
You know, I got to say, the IU Cinema is something that I always tell myself I need to get there more, and I never do. But they always have really cool, awesome things. Like, for example, this week they have a bunch of films. One of them is White Knights, and I vaguely remember that from when I was a kid. It's that movie with Mikhail Baryshnikov, the famous ballet dancer, and Gregory Hines, who was a famous tap dancer.
Oh, right.
And
there's
something about like a Russian defector and a something. I honestly don't even know that much what the story is.
Right.
I just remember that's a movie I've always kind of wanted to see, but somehow never have. It just looks cool.
Yeah. And you know, movies there are pretty cheap too.
There's
$4.
They're super cheap. Some
sometimes
of them are free. Sometimes free.
Yeah.
The other one that caught my eye, I gotta say, is a movie called The Virgin Spring, which back, I can't remember the year, but it was the winner of Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film. It's an Ingmar Bergman film. So when I read about it, it said, The Virgin Spring is a harrowing tale of faith, revenge, and savagery in medieval Sweden. That's like a real popcorn movie, like a blockbuster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like very, sort of almost Game of Thrones-like.
Yeah, I guess so. He was ahead of his time.
Maybe.
You know. How much nudity is there in it is what I want to know.
And incest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that might determine whether I go to see it or not.
Right. Right. Fair enough.
Anyway, IU Cinema, a lot of cool films there going on this week. Check it out. What else is happening?
We got concerts at the Bluebird. The one that really jumped off the screen, as it were, was on Friday, August 24th. We've got Rod Tuff Curls and the Bench Press.
Right.
I mean, how could you not like a band with that name?
Right. That is just a hilarious name for a band. And we actually, we kind of checked them out. We watched a video, and evidently they're a cover band, and they're supposedly
really good.
Really good. I mean, they play all over the country. They're constantly gigging.
Yeah.
I think their thing is that they kind of dress up like 1970s gym, like workout people going to a gym with like tube socks and kind of silly looking shorts. Anyway, pretty cool name for a band.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm going to go to that, but it's certainly worth, just for the name alone, it was worth at least checking it out.
Totally.
Right? Okay. Also, there's something for you video game devotees out there.
I was going to say nerds, but you're more diplomatic.
Okay. Well, nerds isn't an insult.
Nerds is good, right?
It used to be an insult.
Right. Now it's like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Right?
Now it's actually, right, so you want to be a nerd.
So video game nerds.
Yeah. Video game nerds at the library downtown, the Monroe County Library, there's something called Indie Game Development Day. And that apparently is, they have some indie game developers there talking about developing indie video games, which I'll admit, I know nothing about that. Are you a gamer?
I can't say that I am. My son, who's 9, is obsessed with Fortnite. Do you know Fortnite? Like, your kids are probably too old for Fortnite. You've got 17-year-olds.
Yeah, they're not too old for Fortnite,
so
believe
Fortnite
me.
So Fortnite spans the range of like...
Totally.
Oh, interesting.
Oh,
so your kids are playing Fortnite.
At least they have been.
Okay.
I haven't... Like, there was a stretch there where that's pretty much all they did.
Interesting, because my son is really into it, and he talks to me about it all the time, and I sort of feign interest.
I got to say, like, there was a point in my life when I was, you know, when I was younger, when I was sort of into video games. And now I just, they're too complicated for me. Like, it's exhausting to even think about trying to learn how to play them. They're too realistic for
me.
Yeah. Like, it's exhausting even thinking about, like, learning the controller. I mean, that makes me sound very old, but I am old. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. But if you're, you know, more inclined toward video games...
By all means.
Saturday, right?
That is on Saturday. What else do we have? Oh, we have at the Buskirk Chumley this Friday, August 24th, TEDx Bloomington. TEDx Bloomington. That's kind of a big deal, right? And the theme this year apparently is grow. Uh-huh. And it says, an engaging group of speakers to explore the theme of growth from creative, personal, municipal, social, and sexual experiences.
Okay.
Yes.
You gave a TEDx Bloomington talk once, didn't you, Jeremy?
I did. In fact, I gave one however many years ago it was now. And in fact, it turned out to be the day of my kid's bar mitzvah, of Gavin Yoni's bar mitzvah. And I didn't realize it until the week of the bar mitzvah. I just didn't put the two and two together. And that was actually kind of a big problem. But I did it anyway. I couldn't back out.
How was it?
The bar mitzvah or the TED talk?
Well, let's go with the TED talk.
It was cool. I mean, you know, TED's an interesting thing. And I got to say, it is very cool that the people who put that together do a great job of organizing it locally. Yeah. And the place was packed. People were into it.
People love the TED.
People love the TED. So what does TED stand for? Do you remember? I can never remember.
I really don't
Technology,
know.
Technology.
Education. Development. And we're going with that.
What else could the D? Yeah, I don't know. D. Okay, let's go with
that.
Let's
go with development.
That's probably wrong. Okay. But so we can look it up later. And anyway, people know what TED is. So that's Friday night, August 24th at the Buskirk Chumley. Should be pretty interesting.
Buskirk. There's that name again.
There it is again.
Yeah.
Joe Buskirk. I'm just making up his first name.
I feel
name.
Like he was more of a, like, I don't know, something a little more old-timey.
Maybe like Cornelius Buskirk.
Yes, totally. He was totally a Cornelius.
Yes.
And we're also wrong about that.
Wesley Buskirk.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Now, the final event going on this week, of course, is this Saturday, August 25th, Bloomington Pride Fest.
Right. So, Jeremy, you interviewed Janae Cummings, who's the chair of Bloomington Pride and one of the main organizers of the Pride Fest, right?
Yeah, that's right. I had not met her before. I met her for the first time. She's a really interesting person, and it sounds like it's a really fantastic festival. I'll admit, I kind of only vaguely knew about it, and it's been going on for a few years now.
Yeah, I think this is the fifth year, so it's been going on a while, and I guess it's not surprising that in a town that's pretty LGBTQ friendly that we would have something like this, something related to Pride that was pretty happening. But yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm excited to hear more about it and hear what you guys talk
about.
Yeah,
and we did. We talk about not just about the festival, but about Bloomington as a sort of LGBTQ friendly place. So it's really interesting. So here it is. Let's get to the interview. So first, introduce yourself. Tell us about yourself a little bit and your background and how you became involved with Bloomington Pride.
Sure. My name is Janae Cummings. I am the chair of the board of directors for Bloomington Pride. We are an all-volunteer 501c3 nonprofit serving the LGBTQ plus communities of Bloomington and South Central Indiana. I've been on the board 2-ish years now. I got involved. I was recruited, I think, a bit by the board that was in place when I joined. But my interest was really because, you know, I'm a Black woman and I'm bisexual, and I didn't really see anyone on that board or in the community who was really speaking for people like me. So I became interested for that reason, and hoping to join the board and be a voice for people who weren't represented. And since then, you know, my role has grown.
So how long have you been in Bloomington?
I've been in Bloomington 8 years this summer.
What brought you here originally?
A job, actually. I'm a writer by trade, and I got a job in the vice president for IT's Office of Communications. You know, the job brought me down here. I wasn't really intending to move to Bloomington. I'd never really visited Bloomington before, but I am a Hoosier native, and that's kind of how I got down here, and I've been here ever since.
Okay, so you're a Hoosier native. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Anderson. It's about 20 minutes or so northeast of Indy.
Okay, yeah, a lot of listeners will know where that is, yeah. I think. Okay, but you didn't go to school here?
No, I went to the Air Force Academy, and no, I mean, I had plenty of friends, of course, who went to school at IU, absolutely,
right, sure.
And for undergrad, and then graduate school, professional school, of course, so.
So in a second, we're going to talk about the upcoming Pride Fest event, but first, I just want to talk a little bit about Bloomington as an LGBTQ sort of friendly place, because when I've been here for 20 plus years now. And I remember at a certain point that sort of became known to me. I'm like, hi. But it was surprising a little bit. Like, I didn't know that Little Bloomington in southern Indiana was sort of known as this place where, you know, people in that community know and it's like a good place to be. I guess my first question is, that's certainly what I hear. I mean, how true is that? Like, is this place known sort of in the region as a friendly place?
I think friendly could depend on who you're speaking to.
Okay.
Who in the community you're speaking to. And when I say community, the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah.
Bloomington, of course, as everyone knows, is a very liberal kind of blue dot and a red sea. And I think for that reason, it is more inclined simply to be more friendly to anyone who's marginalized. That's absolutely the case. And I think people do know that. But I think depending on who you are, if you're a trans person, non-binary, genderqueer, that may not quite be the case for you. So people who are in the majority of our community, I think, feel very safe and very happy here in Bloomington. And I think as you kind of expand from that, your mileage may vary.
Okay. Is that sort of like an active or ongoing issue within the community?
I think, yeah, it's something we're trying to address. It's difficult for people of color, for trans people, to feel as safe as others, you know, and that can go for anywhere. That's not exclusive to Bloomington.
Sure.
And so we want to do work to make sure that this is a safe place for everyone and not just the majority of people.
And so what sort of work are you doing along those lines?
We have workshops. We make sure that our events are very inclusive, that we're including the voices that we need to, so no one is left behind and no one is left out. We do a lot of education, whether that is through events or workshops or educational sessions or partnerships with other community groups, also just through our social media, calling attention to history, calling attention to the kind of news coming out of the LGBTQ plus community that most people don't hear, the kinds of things that don't hit mainstream outlets, but might be on other kinds of sites that people may read. So it's a wide-ranging effort. We also have a safe space program called Trans and Ally Support Community that is exclusively for trans and gender non-binary folks to get together and support one another. We have a youth group called Prism Youth Community. We also have a safe space group for our rainbow elders called the LGBT Aging and Caring Network. So these are all programs or groups where people can get to know each other and interact and share experiences and support one another in a space that is for them. So yeah, it's a wide-ranging amount of things that we do.
And it's all volunteer.
Every single bit of it, yes.
Okay, so you're all relying on people to give their time and make all these good things happen?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's talk about Pride Fest. So give us kind of an overview of, you know, why should people be excited? Pride Fest is coming up.
Pride Fest is, it's Bloomington's ultimate celebration of the LGBTQ plus community. I mean, it's a celebration that is attractive not only to people in Bloomington, but people in surrounding areas. People travel for this event. It is a place where if you are a queer person living in rural Indiana and there's no one like you, you can come here and feel safe and comfortable being yourself and celebrating yourself and your relationships and your identity with people like you. But beyond that, the festival has grown dramatically in its first year. It was on a block, I think at 4th and Walnut, and you know, it was kind of contained in that space. And since then, we've moved to Kirkwood Avenue and we'll be on three blocks on Kirkwood, running from Walnut to Grant Street. So three very large blocks there where we have live entertainment, bands, DJs, drag. We have educational workshops in partnership with Monroe County Public Library that will take place in the morning, about five or six topics that are really relevant to our community. We have other events taking place. We have a poetry slam for LGBTQ plus poets and spoken word performers. We are partnering on an art show called Everybody that will be at the Thomas Gallery that will feature LGBTQ plus artists who are in the area. So it is just a wonderful time. And it's a great time, no matter who you are, just to come and be with your community and celebrate and have a great time. And
it sounds like a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like so it's an open street festival with all kinds of things going on. So you mentioned you have people coming from different parts of the state. Are there people coming from out of state as well, from surrounding
This is
areas?
More, you know, people coming from Kentucky or maybe Southern Ohio or Eastern Illinois. So, I mean, it's still very much a regional event. This year, we will have a headliner named Sasha Velour, who is a very well-known drag performer and a winner of season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And the opportunity to see Sasha Velour perform for free in an open space is very attractive to people. And so that will pull a lot of people into Bloomington that day, simply because most people don't have the opportunity to see drag that's not on TV, whether because they're not near a place where that's being performed, or they're not of age. Most drag takes place in bars, and if you're under 21, you don't get to see it. And so this is an opportunity for anyone from anywhere to see like this kind of artistry in a space where they're with all of what they would call their people.
Yeah. What about people who are not in the LGBTQ community? What's the? I mean, I assume this is an event that would be open to anyone who just wants to come check it out. Yes. And I'll be honest, I've never attended, but now I'm going. I'm going to come this year because I definitely want to check it out. So if you're not, and if you're not gay, if you're not bi, if you're not trans, why would you want to come anyway? I mean, it sounds super fun, just like as a street party. But what would be your message to people hearing this that are not in that community?
I think, you know, if you're heterosexual, a cisgender heterosexual person, I think, you know, coming out to Pride Fest is really, you know, to support, lend your support and show people, you know, that you are a proud ally and that you're someone who is concerned about equality and rights and making sure that people aren't left behind. You don't need to identify within the LGBTQ plus spectrum to come. Like, everyone is welcome. Sure. And we get a lot of, because I mean, so many of us, most of us have family or friends who identify in the spectrum, or they have children or maybe parents. And, you know, we have a lot of proud parents who come out and they come with their kids and would they come with, you know, their kids who may identify. And so that's a great show of support to have parents come out and to have people and just to say, you know, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, so just like you would support any other group in the community. There.
Sure. And I mean, Pride Fest also has vendors. We have food trucks. And so this is also an opportunity beyond showing your support to see the local organizations, many of which are nonprofits. Mm-hmm. Many are information tables. There are some merchants to support local nonprofits, to support local business, just to have a great time with your family. It's a family-friendly event. So this is something for everyone. Though, you know, we have more of an evening show, I think, after 9 o'clock. That's when our drag performer headlines. So it is late and it is dark. But, I mean, this is, we have a family zone with, like, a bouncy house and, like, all these kinds of things. So, I mean, it's something that really is for everyone.
Yeah, you made a good point before, I think. I don't think that I've ever seen a drag show live.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of a cool opportunity to do that.
It's an experience. And, I mean, this is something, we'll have north of 80 performers throughout the day. We'll have two stages. So on our main stage, which will be in the CVS parking lot, which the CVS parking lot on Kirkwood Avenue. The stage will be in the back, and so people will be able to fill in, but that will feature the band Huckleberry Funk. It will have our top DJs, DJ Mad Dog, for instance. The band Diane Coffee will play in the evening, so Diane Coffee fans will be able to have a great show. And then we'll have our main drag performance will take place there, which will feature Sasha Velour and some other local, very well-known, very popular acts. And then we'll also have a secondary stage hosted or sponsored by Boston Scientific that will feature kind of a more low-key vibe, more acoustic acts. We will also have a little bit of drag by some youth who are very interested in that performance and that expression. And so we'll have a couple of princes and princesses who'd like to perform, and with parental permission, of course, and some other bands that are just, you know, so we want to make sure that we have. Oh, and also I was remiss to mention Corey Landman's chorus will open things up on that stage. So kind of setting the tone for the day. And so we want to make sure that no matter where you are in the festival, no matter where you are on Kirkwood, you know, there's something you can enjoy.
Right.
There's a way for you to be involved and really have a great day.
It sounds super fun.
It's a great time.
I mean, if you wandered by and you didn't even know that it was an LGBTQ thing, it might just be like, street festival.
We get a lot of people who come in that way because it's, you know, we're larger than most street festivals in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. Of course, not as large as Lotus, which does an incredible job and pulls in so many thousands of people. But to have just a general community celebration with no cost is hard to come by. Mm-hmm. We do, of course, have a suggested donation of $5 because that helps us put things like this on us put on more education workshops through the year and get other things done and support our programs. But of course, you know, for those who are able to give, we would appreciate it. But those who can't, I mean, you can still come and have a wonderful time.
So people who hear this and want to give, how can they do that?
They can go to our website, bloomingtonpride.org/donate. They can send checks to us. We're at P.O. Box 554 in Bloomington, zip code 47402. They can find any one of us. They can email me. We have links to PayPal where people can give one time, or they can give recurring payments. People can write us checks. So it's a wide range.
Okay. But, so you make it easy to donate. Yeah. That's a good thing.
Any way you can give, we are happy to make accommodation for you.
Let's wrap it up, hype up the event, talking directly to our listeners now. make your best pitch for everyone to come out.
Oh, my best pitch is simply that if you want to support the LGBTQ plus community and also have an incredible time with family and friends, I don't think there's any better place for you to be than on Kirkwood Avenue on August 25th, starting at 3 o'clock and ending at 11 o'clock.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. All right, Jen, you know what it's time for.
I think it's time to get in the way back machine.
Let's go. Okay, here we are. It is Saturday, August 20th, 1881, and we are looking at the Saturday Courier. It was a newspaper in Bloomington way back when. So let's take a look at what was going on here.
Well, what sort of looks to me like an early version of the Facebook status update, the personalities section of the newspaper in which you find out about the comings, goings, doings, and sayings of the people.
Here's one. Lem Parks has been suffering intensely from the effects of a large thorn which penetrated a toe.
Yeah, you kind of want to have like a little sad face emoji next to that.
Yeah, hashtag ouch. Hashtag I need a Band-Aid. Or something. Okay.
Right.
We hope that Lem Parks recovered. Here's another little update. It says, rain nor anything else can save the corn now. That's all it says. There's no explanation of what that means exactly.
Yeah.
I guess they went with it. There was just no corn.
Bad year for corn.
Bad year for corn.
I like this one. This is more of what we might call an opinion piece. Under the Gaslight. It starts like this. It will be a good thing for Bloomington when the carousing of prostitutes and their male followers after nightfall is stopped. There are many female prostitutes in this city who are employed during the day as domestics and spend the night in debauchery about the public streets and byways with their male companions. The principal rendezvous is the college campus.
Wow. The college campus.
Yeah.
You know, IU is still known as a pretty awesome party school. Yeah, I guess it was back then,
I
too.
Guess some things never change.
Let's see. It looks like they also had a section here where they just looked at what was going on out in the world, like out in the United States. And so there's a column called Here and There. And the very first item, it says, the president is eating strawberries sent from Canada.
I guess that was a big deal.
I assume they mean you the know? President of the United States.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, maybe it's like to get strawberries.
Yeah, you know.
I didn't know Canada was like a strawberry mecca.
Well, you couldn't just pick them up at Kroger, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, you're from Canada.
I am from Canada.
Do they have good strawberries?
You know.
Maybe they used to.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, here's another item in this same thing. It says, the wife of Dan Rice, the noted circus clown, has sued for a divorce.
Can you blame her?
No. Right. I mean, if you're married to a circus clown already... I think that's just grounds for divorce in most states.
Yeah.
At least it was.
Maybe she should have known what she was getting into.
Yeah. Here's a bit of old-timey racism for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is interesting. It says, Sitting Bull charges $5 for his autograph, and there are many nincompoops who give him his price for the worthless scratch.
Ooh.
I would think getting Sitting Bull's autograph would be pretty cool. I'd like to get Sitting Bull's autograph.
Nincompoops. That's not a word you hear thrown around.
That's one of the worst things you could call somebody back then.
Yeah.
Them's was fighting words.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You call someone a nincompoop, you know, that's pistols at dawn kind of stuff.
It's like dual situation.
Back in the day.
All right.
Okay.
Let's take your word for it.
Of course, there are some interesting ads in this newspaper. You want to read this one?
Yeah, sort of like a little bit of content marketing. Peter Kiefer?
Kiefer,
Peter. Corner Clinton and Bennett Streets, Buffalo, says, I was badly bitten by a horse a few days ago and was induced by a friend who witnessed the occurrence to try Dr. Thomas's electric oil. It relieved the pain almost immediately, and in 4 days the wound was completely healed. Nothing can be better for fresh wounds.
Nothing. Nothing was better than fresh wounds, not washing it or putting a bandage on it. All you needed was Dr. Thomas's electric oil.
God, getting bitten by a horse. That's worse than a thorn in the toe.
Horses have like big teeth, kind of human looking teeth almost.
Yeah.
If they bite you, you need I mean, what else are you going to do except get some electrical oil?
Yeah.
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 Well.
There you have it.
There it is. I think it's time to get back in the way back machine.
I think you're right. I'm ready for 2018.
Here we go. We're back, and that's going to do it for this episode.
So thanks for listening, everyone. And please remember, if you haven't already, to subscribe to our podcast, The B-Town Lowdown, wherever you get your podcasts.
And please, if you haven't already, sign up to get our newsletter at btownlowdown.com so we can let you know about the latest episodes.
You can also like us on Facebook and check us out on Instagram. We are on social. Both are at B-Town Lowdown.
Yeah, that was Kesem just now shaking her collar. So now, if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes if you're so inclined, because when you do that, it makes it easier for other people to find the podcast.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week.
Have a great week.
B-L-O-O-M-I-N-G-D-O-N. You gotta come on down to our C-O-L-L-E-G-E-T-O-W-N College Town. Well, way back in the hills of southern Indiana is a town that swings like a rope up the banner. We dig our basketball.